and earthly, wondrously Jesus is found in thee. None can be nearer, fairer, or dearer than thou, my Savior, art to me.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Appreciate the singing. Appreciate again that you're here today. Let's go ahead and grab a Bible. Oh, you may be seated too. Grab a Bible. And let's open it up to 2 Corinthians. Yeah, let's start there, I guess. Book of 2 Corinthians. And if I remember right, we want to look for a section that was been preached here several times about breaking Satan's strongholds. And and I know I have that in here someplace. Chapter 6. I keep thinking 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and I know I wrote this down someplace. Pulling down Satan's strongholds again. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I was right the first time. 2 Corinthians in chapter 10, verses 3 through 6. Tearing down Satan's stronghold is the theme here that I've gone through in several different venues, and we want to look at here today. We have a B2R, Bridge to Recovery, on our website, again, that comes from a RU-type look-alike program without all the copyright requirements for RU. I'd have started an RU here, except for you're in for about $1,000 worth of copyright material just to get started in that. And so Bridge to Recovery did pretty much the same program through RBO Ouellette out in Michigan. And I went ahead and took his material, and we put it online, and ask again that you might go through that. And I want to go through that here today with this part, again, especially emphasized. 2 Corinthians in chapter 10. And if you'd follow along in your Bible, let's stand again. I know you just got seated. This is a good portion of Scripture here, and let's start, let's read the chapter, I think, again, at least down through verse 6. 2 Corinthians in chapter 10, the Bible says there, "Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with you, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh." And so again, he's got that warning. You got to remember, this is 2 Corinthians. He wrote 1 Corinthians, where he rebuked 15 times in 15 chapters for 15 errors that was in this carnal church of Corinth. And there's still some things wrong as he writes this one. And he says, "I'm going to come in there and we're going to get this straight." But again, he gives that a clarity there. That again, he's got a confidence and a assurance and a boldness that he's going to have. I heard it said recently that you can be bold without being gruff. And so if you know the truth, we can be bold with the truth and not be gruff and not beat people over the head and shoulders with our Bible, I guess is what we're trying to say here. But that's what Paul is alluding to there again, that they needed some correction, and he gave it to them. Now look at verse 3 down the way through there, and look at this, a tearing down of a stronghold instructions is what Mike Walsh called it, first preached this message here years and years ago, and he was working in drug addiction situations and recovery, and so a tremendous stronghold verse here. Let's pay attention, verses 3 down through verse 6. And it says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Close parentheses there. And then it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Father, praise you and thank you for your word. Thank you again, Father, even as we read these charges from Paul here to the church of Corinth, Father, that we'd pull out some nuggets here that would help each of us here to keep our minds straight, to clean our lives from stinking thinking. And Father, that you'd again just help us as we look at this theme in a way again that might be offensive to some, but certainly is needed in our society today. And so we'll praise you again and thank you for helping us not to allow strongholds of Satan to be camped out in our lives. And we'll praise you and thank you for your help and instruction in that regards from your words. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I already published again a worksheet. Four pages. I fit four pages on one page here again. And I encourage each of the guys especially to make sure you get this. And then I know it seems that, trivial to some sometimes to do homework. But homework is good for us again. And so I've assigned three recovery assignments on this little worksheet that we handed out. And boy, I encourage you to read them and do them. Again, if it seems trivial to you, I'll guarantee you that it is not. It makes a difference in a person's thinking. It makes a person's in a different life. And so as we're looking here at this theme today, victory over lust of the eyes. Again, I want that we would understand the power of Scripture and the power of breaking down these strongholds. And the power that the Word of God is to have in our lives, it says in Romans 12, that we're to have a renewing of our mind. And it takes some effort on our parts to have a renewing of our mind. I've sat here before, and I don't like the bluntness of this, but I said that when someone with no character, no personality, what we call a jerk, gets saved, they're forgiven of their sins, but they're still a jerk, okay? And so maybe you wouldn't say this out loud, I'm sure, but maybe some of you noticed that. Maybe some of you know people like that. And so the truth is, when we get saved, our sins are gone. Yes, my sins are gone. And I praise the Lord for that. But our lives are a mess. And we have got to start on a path of growing and again, maturing in Christ. And especially those that are born in our society in this day and age, there's not very much character. I've heard it said that my grandfather had more work in his little finger than I have in my whole life. More character in his little finger. And I'm afraid that's too true in our society that we've grown up in today. And so don't feel bad if I pound on that. But again, understand that, hey, we're missing a lot of character. There's a verses of the soils. Brother Fielder and I talked about this quite a bit. those four types of soil. Brother Preston and I talked about that quite a bit. Four types of soil that's talked about, and some of them received the word gladly, and then it had this verse, but they had no root in themselves. And I'm afraid we're growing up in a society right now, growing up our children, with no root in themselves, and consequently a couple things raise up and they're gone, and then they do not bear fruit. And again, the question is, what does it mean that they do not bear fruit? So a couple of them there, it says they don't continue bearing fruit is the idea, but some of them don't bear any fruit. And so again, here's some things again. This stronghold study course again is meant to get the Word of God into us, and that it would make a difference in our lives. So three things I want to emphasize here this morning, and that's the third, that this stronghold study course is important, and we'll go over some of the details of that at the end of this message. And so again, understand first, overcoming the lust of the eyes is a problem that everyone has got to deal with, but none so much as us guys have got to deal with that and wrestle with that. And so to understand that, this here is from my penny pulpit, a satanic stronghold called pornography. And so we want to again look at that theme here this morning and understand its power and its evils. There are five powerful vices. www.dg. You might write that down, memorize this list. I preached it here several times. But wine, women, weed, drugs, and gambling. Wine, women, weed, www.drugsandgambling. Those five, again, I memorized when I went into the military because, again, those are vices that the military promotes. And now, again, they're vices that our society promotes. They've legalized the weed again. And so again, they're rampant and they're getting worse. So wine, being again the alcohol, the women, being the lust of the eyes that we're looking at, the wine, women, weed, again, things you smoke, and then the drugs and gambling again, being vices. Now, what is a vice? Have you ever seen a vice grip? I've got about four different pair, and I've got them in different functions that I use, again, for clamping things. Boy, once you clamp a vice grip, I've clamped a vice grip onto a piece of pipe before, and then I couldn't get it off again. So a vice grip is something that grabs on, and it holds, and it will not let go. And we have vices in our lives, and a vice grip is a stronghold. And these five addictions make for satanic strongholds on lives, especially those that are unsaved. But now, unfortunately, for even Christians are wrestling with these strongholds. They get in that grip. And Christ can indeed set you free. Romans or John chapter 8, we've read before, talks about ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It sets you out of that stronghold. The truth of God's word is meant to do that. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And we're meant to be free from these vices. Society, as I said, advances all of these satanic vices, but one, through pornography, has established a satanic stronghold in the lives of professing Christians. It is epidemic. And it's available if you've got a phone. It's available on there. And it's hard to avoid it on there. It automatically pursues people. And again, to understand that. Not only that, but man, walking around in our society, you guys, you got to train your eyes and be careful where you're looking. And again, be quick to look away. There's no charge for looking. Yes, there is. And so we'll see that here in some of these verses. And so this is an epidemic thing in our society. Right now I could name you three pastors that are put out of, personal friends of mine, that were put out of the ministry because of pornography. I can name you five married couples that are now divorced and in the bastions of sin because of pornography. It is real. It is epidemic. It is destructive. And it is everywhere. It's available to our children growing up. If they don't have some kind of adult supervision on the telephone now. It used to be your computers. Now it's the phones that they're carrying around with them. And so this thing is epidemic and it is taking over. The Bible says, "For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders." It says in Mark 7:21, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders." Ephesians 5 says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once be named among you as becometh saints." 1 Thessalonians 4, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." I love that verse and its application about possessing one's vessel. Not in the lust of concupiscence. Concupiscence is a lust or irregular desire for sexual pleasure, specifically called out in your Bible. "Even as the Gentiles which know not God." And so again, here in this, consider the definition of fornication. Fornication is anything, any sexual activity that's foreign to what God wants. Is adultery fornication? Yes, it is. So again, to understand, if it's foreign to what God wants and purpose for sexual pleasures, if it's foreign to that, it's fornication. And it's rampant, as I said, in our society. It's a sales thing that's used by our society, to the lust of the eye. And listen, it's condemned by the Lord Jesus Christ. "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Bible says the evil imagination of the thoughts of the heart in Galatians 6, that men do in the dark and in the chambers of his imagery, saying, "The Lord seeth not." And again, that's a good description of someone using pornography in the on their laptop, in their home, in the corners of darkness. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth." Ezekiel 8 and verse 12 says, "Then said he unto me," speaking to Ezekiel, "Son of man, hast thou seen what the ancients of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the chambers of his imagination." Wow, there's a description of what you can have portrayed on a screen in front of you now. That's now the chambers of our imaginations. "For they say, the Lord seeth us not, the Lord hath forsaken the earth." For a Christian viewing pornography, the seeing and hearing will vex his righteous soul. Look at this verse with me, 2 Peter chapter 2. And mark this in our Bible to make sure we can follow up on that and keep that prominent in our lives to understand what happened to old Lot. 2 Peter in chapter 2 and verse 8. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 8. Look what it says. The Bible says, and this is a parenthesis, that Lot was delivered. "Just Lot vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, And then we got a parenthesis that explains how that happens. Look at it with me. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 8. For that righteous man, okay, you got to stop right there and pause and recognize that that was Lot. He was a righteous man. He was camped in the wrong place. But he was a righteous man, the Bible says. That righteous man dwelling among them, the Sodomites, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul. What's it mean to vex? It means you trouble it. It means you give it some anxiety. That means you're warring against it. So he vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Listen, that's a good description of exactly what's going on when you view pornography. Seeing and hearing will vex the righteous soul, and it will, and it does. Solomon's obsession with women says of it, the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. We looked at Solomon's Proverbs here today, and that last Proverbs about a virtuous woman, I, in my study, says, hey, that's Solomon writing on the pen name. Because he knew he could not write that because he'd already vexed his righteous soul with women. And so when he wrote that last chapter of Proverbs, I believe he used a pen name to indicate a king that was virtuous, because he knew he wasn't. A king that was virtuous wrote that again last chapter in the book of the wisdom of Proverbs of Solomon. So he again wrote in Ecclesiastes, hey, trust me, the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Those given over to vile affections and reprobate minds exploit sexual sins to produce pornography. Depraved consumers, people who use it, people who partake of it, people who watch it, depraved consumers, I've labeled them here, here's what they do. They have pleasure in them that do them. That's a line right out of Romans chapter 1. About the sodomites and the vile affections that are poured out upon this world when God gives man over to a reprobate mind. And they not only do such things, but they have pleasure in them that do them. And so again, to understand that that's what you're doing when you're participating in their sins, just by buying it, by watching it, by partaking of it. It is vile. It is fornication. If viewing pornography is a stronghold of Satan parked in a secluded corner of your heart, Bible says that we should confess it. We should repent of it. We should make a covenant with your eyes. Turn with me to the book of Job. I've often rehearsed this as a youth pastor. And now that I'm old and well stricken in years, the importance is all the more emphasized. The book of Job and chapter, did I say one? No, 31. Job chapter 31. Let's see, I'm in Judges, that ain't going to work. Book of Job and chapter 31. Here's a curious situation. Job, again, is a philosophy book, if I would, that has a philosophy of three and the Word of God for one. And here, Job says this in an answer that he gives. Job chapter 31 and verse 1. I say that because there's verses in Job that you want to be kind of careful of, because it was said by Elihu or Shuhite or some of the others that were using philosophy to find truth, and philosophy never does that well. Chapter 31, Job has the truth, and he said this, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? And so, boy, I encourage you, make a covenant with your eyes. Well, I was in the military for 23 years, and it's rampant. There's not an office you could go into where I work where there wasn't a naked pinup up on the wall. I mean, it's everywhere. It's rampant. It's all over the place. That's not just true for the military. That's true in most workplaces. So again, here, make a covenant with your eyes. I have made a covenant with my eyes. I love that verse. I need that verse. I needed it when I was in the military, and I need it today. Make that covenant with your eyes. Let's do this. Let's pull down that stronghold of Satan with the instruction that we found there in 2 Corinthians. Let's go back to that again and look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And as we look at this, boy, it's got some things there that we've had emphasized here for several years. Ever since Mike Walsh preached it, I've kind of focused on this and said this is important stuff. We put it in the RU program and in the Bridge to Recovery program that I put together. But this is how to take down a stronghold. Think about what is a stronghold. A stronghold, and for Satan building a stronghold in your life, is a place that you've given Satan access. You've given Satan permission to come into your life and to entertain this sin in this area. And Satan, once he's there, he moves in. And he sets it up. And that'll go for any of the WWWDGs. Again, that once we have an addiction in our life, that's a stronghold of Satan. And he knows it. And he, again, has power over your lives to oppress the Spirit of God, to interrupt your walking in the Spirit. And so how do we deal with that? Verse 3 again says, "For we walk not in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." And so, first off, again, the first thing I want to emphasize here, and I put it in our written assignment, that you write out the scripture verses. I've listed here, I think, 16 different references of scripture verses that are important for us. To take charge of our mind, to capture the imaginations of our heart and mind anew and afresh. And boy, I don't know how to emphasize this enough, that reading the scriptures is a good thing. Reading scriptures out loud is a better thing. Reading scriptures out loud and then writing them down is, we're getting up there to 100%, where again, we're understanding we're getting reading comprehension. And writing it down legibly, that's always a challenge for me. And then punctuation perfect. It's not as bad as diagramming sentences, but certainly it gives us a clarity of scriptures that you'll not get any other way. Predominantly, half of my study time anymore, especially when your mind's getting old and foggier, is to write the scriptures down. You can cut and paste them out of a computer, boom, just like that. It does you no good whatsoever to cut and paste things out of a computer. But if you take a pen and you write them down by hand, I'll tell you what, that makes a difference in our lives. That is, again, a reverence to the Word of God. And so all of us, again, we started, the turn of the year for the ladies had these scripture reading, writing schedules. And here's what we found out. Wow, that's a lot of work. That's a tally of work on our lives. Listen, it's well worth the effort. Especially these 16 references that are given in this pamphlet is to write them down. Listen, it's the Word of God that's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to divide the thoughts and intents of your heart. And so again, to write them down and to carry them around with us is good. I have several journaling notebooks I carry around. I got several. Chris gave a whole bunch of those little spiral, what do you call them, steno pads or whatever. they cost a dollar. You could fill one of them up and take a couple weeks to fill one of those up with scripture verses, and it's worth every piece of paper. I don't care if you write it down, wad it up, and throw it away. When you write something down, it's stuck in your head deeper than you'll ever get otherwise. So I know they don't teach writing anymore in school. But again, I encourage you. That is a key part to this Bridge to Recovery program. It's a key part to the RU program, that you get into the scriptures and you write things down, and that embeds them deeper into your mind. So three things I want you to draw out of this. Number one, that viewing pornography is fornication. It is the worst of fornications. It's worse sometimes than participating, because again, it's controlling your mind. Number one. Number two is that victory over these things comes from the Holy Word of God. And there's no better way to get the Holy Word of God into you than to write it into a steno pad. And then number three is these stronghold verses right here. Let's look at them again. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Father, help us, I pray, to know what it means to cast down the imaginations of our vile flesh, and Father, to grow in the knowledge of you. And so as we see this here as a part of a renewed mind in Christ, I pray that you'd help each of us, Father, to be able to cast down imaginations, to recognize them when they're showing up in our lives and our thoughts, and that you'd help us get rid of stinking thinking in our lives. Amen. Father, second part we see here, notice again, the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bringing these things into captivity and having control of our mind. Let's pause right there on that point and look over with me to Philippians chapter 4. You know where I'm going with this. There's a list of things there that we should be thinking about. If you want to get rid of stinking thinking, then you read through or ponder on the things that God says we ought to be thinking about. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. It's in front of Colossians chapter 4. Philippians in chapter 4. And this is one of Paul has several conclusions here, several therefores, and several finallys in this tremendous chapter to the, or letter to the Philippians. And look what it says in verse 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, watch this list. Whatsoever things are true. Now, when you write that verse down, don't write whatsoever once and then make a list. Can you imagine the scribes when they were writing all the names that are found in the book of Numbers? Remember when they gave the sacrifice and every one of the 12 tribes gave the exact same sacrifice? And a scribe says, why do we have to keep writing this over and over and over again? I tell you what, I learned a little bit of Hebrew. I learned to read a little bit of Hebrew by reading that list. Because there's repetition is good for you. And so watch what this verse says, and then don't cheat. Write the whole thing out. Finally, comma, brethren, comma, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue. Sometimes I like to stop when I'm reading my Bible and get out Noah Webster's dictionary and look these words up. What is virtue anyway? Who can find a virtuous woman was in our Sunday school lesson today. Virtue, it's a strength in morality, a strong moral position. And so again, to be able to understand is also some of the things we're writing down. It's helpful, especially when we write them down and you ponder, and I wonder what that means. It's a good time to stop and do a little research. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And so that, a verse right there, I've inserted it right here into the middle of this breaking down strongholds lesson. Again, so that's where the imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought in the obedience of Christ. So when we take control of our mind, I've said this before, I don't think I really figured this out until like a couple of years ago, that the difference between me and my dog, or you and your cat, and more so probably you and your cat, is I taught algebra for years. I never had a dog sign up for algebra because, they're so intelligent. We didn't even have any dolphins sign up because they're the most intelligent mammals. But again, understand this, that they're missing the ability to self-conscious. They don't have a self-consciousness. When I have something going on in my head, I can step, I'd say this carefully here, I can step out of my body and go over here and stand and look back at me and say, answer my mom's question, what in the world were you thinking? And so the ability that we have, humans have, to stop and think about what they're thinking is key, even in this breaking down of a stronghold, to think about what's going on in your mind. Have a self-consciousness about what we're thinking. I guess my mom instilled that in me early on, because I did some pretty marvelous things, and my mom would say, "What in the world were you thinking?" And so that's a good rule. Stop and think about what you're thinking. And so here it is again in Scripture with casting down imaginations and bringing into captivity every thought in obedience. And then look at verse 6. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. I couldn't fit this in a one-sheet lesson. But revenging disobedience. How would you revenge disobedience? Here's one way to do it. Every time some pornography crosses your eyes and you didn't get clear of it, write that whole list of 16 verses out again. Revenge. I'm going to take revenge for this disobedience. And so, I'll tell you what, it don't take very long. We dealt with this with drug addictions as well. When you stumble, when you have a failure on an addiction, you take revenge. And you take revenge with that, with an act of obedience. With an act of, every time that this happens in my life, I'm going to go out and hand out 15 gospel tracts. Period. No exceptions. Listen, that's revenging disobedience. And or I'm going to write out the whole verse list again. That's revenging. And so look what it says of it here. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. Take revenge on your disobedience. And then it says, when your obedience is fulfilled. And I like to emphasize that a little bit, that hey, that'll make your obedience fulfilled. Listen, it won't be very long before Satan sees what you're doing in revenge, and he likes your revenge a lot worse than he likes your temptations that he's using on you, and he'll tear down some of his own strongholds out of our lives. And so that stronghold verse there, it's so important that we, again, get control of our mind. Secondly, that we do that with a renewing of our mind. Where's the renewing of our mind come from? You don't just grit your teeth and say, I'm going to renew our mind. Here's a verse, a list of 16 verses, 16 Bible references that will help us renew our mind, because the Word of God is quick and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And listen, once you get that in your mind, as soon as a little bit of pornography shows up, as soon as a little opportunity shows up, as soon as it shows up in the life of another one, some of those verses are going to pop into your head. How do I know that? Trust me, I know that. And so again, to use that as a tool. You get them tools, those verses right there, into your head, and you'll have a safeguard against a whole bunch of the other vices, again, that can get into our lives and take a stronghold in our lives and ruin our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so again, just wanted to go over that outline, that lesson. I put it out. I don't know. We'll watch and see. It's going to go out on Monday morning. The whole outline, I tried to get it all on my penny pulpits. Every time I send out a penny pulpit that hits pretty hard, I get about, I got a list of 700 people that I send it out to. I'll get three or four that say, you can take me off the list. I don't want any more of that. I've never had one say, would you please add me to your list again? So, well, I can't say that. That's not exactly true. We had missionaries again all the time. But again, to understand that, hey, this is a powerful tool. And I just wanted to emphasize that this morning and understand that we have some tools available to us. This little stronghold, getting control of the lust of the flesh. This is an old version with spelling mistakes. But again, I had some new ones in the back. Grab one of them. Use that. Some of you, again, may have family or friend that are struggling with that and can use that. I've not handed this one out before because Pastor Hack just preached this message and highlighted about half of this essay all over again in my mind. And I said, we need to go ahead and just dig out that stronghold course and that list of verses and apply them to our thinking so that we could walk through a life without that stinking thinking. Listen, it is everywhere. It abounds. I'm scared for the society that's bringing up children that have such access to such vulgar stuff. And again, it's in their lives. It's a way of their life. And they've got Satan's strongholds before they hit teenhood. And so again, to understand that, hey, that's a powerful tool of Satan. And boy, dare not once be named among you, the Bible says. Don't let it once be named among you. And it destroys and it tears down lives. And I appreciate again that we could use God's word to have a freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if Christ shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Let's stand and we'll go ahead and dismiss with a word of prayer. Father, thank you and praise you for Sunday mornings. Thank you, Father, that we could touch such a heavy subject today from your word and understand that there's victory there for the Christian. There's victory there for the believer. And boy, we need victory. And so I pray again as we live in a vile, crooked society where this plague again is upon so many people. Help again us that it not be once named among us. And Father of our own, of our loved ones, of our children, of our friends and our neighbors, Father, people again are addicted to this more than we could ever imagine. And so I pray again that you'd help, that we would take a strong stand in our own lives. And Father, we have got a counselor on board. So I pray again that you'd help us even to be counselors of others that are tangled in such bondage. And we'll give you all the praise. Thank you that we could worship you today. And thank you again for our little church and pray that you'd touch and bless in a special way. Thank you that we could be described in your word as a pillar and ground of truth. And Father, that each one of us can be described as ministers of reconciliation, ambassadors for Christ. Help us in this week to do just that. We'll give you all the praise. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Dismiss with this song. Christ for me. Yes, it's Christ for me. He's my Savior, my Lord and King. I'm so happy, I shout and sing. Christ for me. Yes, it's Christ for me. Every day as I go my way, it is Christ for me. Lord bless you for worshiping today. We started 5 minutes late, so I revenged every 5 minute delay by 10 minute extra church. Lord bless you today. Praise the Lord. It's a good book.